An extended power outage is always a concern. Necessary medical equipment might not work. Frozen fish and meat could thaw. Electric heating might be unusable. But in Wrangell, an extended power outage could cause larger community-wide problems as well. Let's start with drinking water.
We do not have backup generation for the water treatment plant.
That's Wrangell's Public Works Director, Tom Wader. He says Wrangell's water plant stopped filtering and treating source water from the reservoirs for a few hours during the outage.
We were basically down to what we had in storage until the power came back on.
There's a battery bank at the plant that operators use to keep some things moving, but he says by and large, most of the equipment is down for the count without power. And that includes monitoring the chlorine levels in the drinking water as required by law.
Not able to maintain the chlorine, like the chlorine level will drop, and it did drop quite a bit during that storm, during like the 8-9 hours that power was shut off.
The water plant does have about 850,000 gallons of treated water in reserve, but Wader says after 12 to 24 hours, that can run dry.
That's just on a normal day. If we were during high flows during the middle of the summer, or if we had a water main break in the middle of that time frame would be, you know, could be reduced to a matter of a couple hours.
Parts of Wrangell's sewer pump system also don't have electrical backups. When the power goes off, stations pumping wastewater out the road can't work. Wader says before the power was restored down Zamovia Highway, the public works crew shut down the sewer pump stations, fearing the backed up waste could overflow. And that's risky.
If the outage would have gone for much longer, you know, good chance we would have seen sewage overflowing in a lot more places. It's a public health and safety issue.
Wrangell's municipality does have 5 electrical generators with the capacity to power the whole community. But if transmission lines are down, diesel generators can't get electricity past broken lines. In the event of a disaster, the community gym is a designated emergency shelter, as it's on high ground, and thus less risky in case of a tsunami. But it doesn't have a generator. A cost estimate given to the Borough Assembly this month based off of a 2014 assessment shows a generator could cost around $750,000. Instead, Wrangell's EOC stood up a shelter in the Nolan Center after the storm. It's on lower ground, but has backup power. Late November storm also took out the runway lights at Wrangell's state-owned airport. That could have canceled flights. Wrangell's Borough Assembly has decided to allocate the remaining $80,000 in federal pandemic relief ahead of the December 31st spending deadline to buy a 40-kilowatt, single-phase generator for the airport's runway lights. That's so that planes, including medevac flights, could get in if there's an extended community blackout. Wrangell had already done the engineering for the project, but hadn't moved forward with a purchase. The spending approval wasn't without frustration. Wrangell Mayor Steve Prasanka argued the Alaska Department of Transportation should be responsible for its own airport.
Why we have to go and spend our money on a state generator is beyond me to keep our airport lit up. And I think I know the answer to that. But we had the perfect storm. Exactly what we said could happen happened. And we're out.
KSTK reached out to Pat Carroll, Deputy Director for DOT's regional office in Juneau. He replied by email and said the regional office is no longer installing generators at its airports. In jet-served communities that do have them, such as Ketchikan, Petersburg, Sitka, Gustavus, and Yakutat, they won't be replaced after they wear out. He added that it's not a formal established policy. DOT has found over time that backup power generators are rarely used and are expensive to install and maintain. Generators at Sitka and Ketchikan's airports were federally funded, he said. Power failures in Wrangell also impact the schools. Wrangell Public Schools Maintenance Director Josh Blatchley told the school board this month that a lot of systems go dark in the schools when the power is out.
There is no heat or airflow during a power outage in the middle school. There also is no heat in the high school during a power outage because the backup generator just runs emergency lights and communications. There is heat in the elementary school with limited power supply to communications when the power is out and the backup generator is operating.
He said the district's backup power used to be more robust, but has been allowed to deteriorate.
At some point during an upgrade, they cease to use the middle school backup generator. There is one. I have never seen it function. And over the years, it has been used for parts
Rengel's key emergency coordinators have told the assembly there's a lot of work to do. Fire Captain Dorian Spray said at a recent borough meeting that the November storm revealed the community's vulnerabilities in a disaster, and that its plans haven't been updated in 20 years.
But there's a lot of things that we do need to work on. One of the large items was our emergency operations plan for the city. We've kind of brought that up over and over. It was written in 2001 and has really never been looked at since. So somewhere it's holding up all the other binders that are really important in there. But we really need to address that.
But for electrical emergencies in the water and wastewater system, solutions are complex, spendy, or both. For example, a backup generator for the water treatment plant would cost around $250,000, but the community is also working towards entirely replacing the water treatment plant, which could have different generator requirements. And Wader, the public works director, adds generators are daunting investments.
We're a remote place that has, you know, a lot of challenges when it comes to our infrastructure, and generators are expensive, and, you know, we should try to have as much as we can that's feasible and reasonable, because, you know, oftentimes it's one of those things you don't need it till you need it, and when you do, you need it. And so it sounds like a lot of money, and it is, and, you know, we want to be prudent and fiscally responsible and things like that, and we also want to make sure that we are doing everything that we can to protect the life, health, and safety of everybody living here.
Alaska's Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management spokesperson Jeremy Zydek says being prepared is key.
It becomes a disaster when a community doesn't have the capabilities to respond to something. And here in Alaska, we have a wide range of things that can impact us, and we really can't prepare for every contingency. And that's why we have to take this all-hazards approach. Because we never know what is going to happen.
That's not to say it's all darkness. In Wrangell, both the new hospital and the vacant old one have generators. The fire department has a mobile generator on a trailer it can deploy as needed. And as November's storm showed, many Wrangellites have smaller generators they can use for their own houses or to help out others. Wrangell's Capital Facilities Department says they're hoping to order the new airport generator before the new year. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.